بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters listening, over the course of the last 2 weeks we started this silsila, these series of talks on the lives of the pious people. And we started with the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So we've already had two sessions on the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and we need probably many more sessions to actually discuss the life of this great personality in detail. But because unfortunately we don't have that kind of time, and I want to go on to the lives of the other great Sahaba and then move on to the great saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah I'm hoping that today I'll close the chapter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So we mentioned certain virtues and certain fada'il, virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the ulama, they've made a list. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, whose book we studied, Riyadu Salihin, he also has a book on the saints of Allah called Bustanul Arifin. Inside of that book, he's also listed all the great saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he starts with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at the top of the list. See, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi was also a great Sufi, a great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can see in these people's lives how close they were to Allah. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to divide his time. His night used to be divided into three parts, into three thirds. So one third he would use for resting, and one third of his night he would use for studying. Entire one third of his night would pass in studying books, learning knowledge. And one third of his night he'd spend in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He passed away in his early 40s. So all of these people who fall in the category of the Sufis, the great saints of Allah, we see their lives filled with such love of Allah and such piety and devotion to Allah. So inshallah we'll come on to these people's lives. So moving on with the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought a few points. If these are the reasons why Abu Bakr was so superior over all the other Sahaba. And he mentions a few incidents. One of them was the day of Hudaybiyah. You see, the day of Hudaybiyah was a very difficult day for the Muslims. We don't want to go into the seerah aspect of it, but on the day of Hudaybiyah, what happened was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had set off from Makkah, and the Sahaba, there was about 1,400 of them. And they'd gone to perform Umrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we're only going from Medina to Makkah to perform Umrah. We have no bad intention, meaning we're not intending to go and attack Makkah and take over Makkah, conquer Makkah. So he said to the Sahaba, dress in your ihram, whatever garments you're going to be wearing whilst performing the Umrah, and don't take any heavy weaponry with you. Just take a very light dagger or a sword that in those days people would generally carry when traveling anyway, just in case if any dangers came their way, they had some kind of weapon with them. So the Sahaba were equipped in a way where you could see from outside that they were going to perform the pilgrimage, perform Umrah. They didn't have any heavy weaponry with them. But once they got to Makkah, the story is very long, but once they got to Makkah, the Quraysh did not allow them to perform Umrah. So Rasulullah, there was a lot of negotiations, a lot of talking. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Uthman radiallahu anhu, that you go and you're the ambassador, the negotiator, our negotiator. You go and talk to them and see if you can come to some kind of arrangement, mutual agreement, arrangement that, look, this year we are just here to perform Umrah. You can see what we're wearing, you can see the way we've come here. We only want to peacefully perform Umrah and then we will return. But they were not happy with that. Rather, they detained Uthman radiallahu anhu for quite a while, to the extent that someone started spreading the rumor that Uthman has been killed. So as soon as that rumor spread, the Sahaba became very upset, very angry, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took what was known as the Bay'atul Ridwan. And Bay'atul Ridwan was taken because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if Uthman has been killed, assassinated, then we are going to take revenge for Uthman. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand out, and the Sahaba, they all put their hands to take the pledge of allegiance, that we are ready to give our lives to avenge Uthman. And Rasulullah put his hand, and then he put his other hand and said, this is for Uthman. And he put his other hand on top of his first hand. He's so close to Uthman. Inshallah, his story will also come. So at that moment in time, the negotiations went on. But by the end of it, they came to the agreement, to the conclusion that this year the Muslims will not perform Umrah. Rather, they will return. And then they will come back next year to perform Umrah. And similarly, when they drew up the terms of the agreement, there were a few clauses that many of the Sahaba found very unfair, very unjust. They found it very unfair. For example, one of the clauses of the agreement that was then signed was that if anybody becomes a Muslim from Makkah, if anybody becomes a Muslim from Makkah and goes to Medina, the Muslims have to send them back to Makkah. And however, if anyone leaves Islam from Medina and goes to Makkah, then the Quraysh are under no requirement to send them back to Medina. So it's very unfair clauses. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed this because of the wisdom. So at that moment in time, many Sahaba were very upset. Some of them just couldn't voice their anger that we've come all the way from Medina. Okay, one thing is, okay, if we were to come back, if they were to tell us come back next year, we just admit some form of, come to some form of truce and we come back next year. But many of these clauses are so unfair against us, so unjust. So the Sahaba were, they were boiling inside, many of them. Umar radiallahu anhu, he couldn't contain himself. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very passionately. Ya Rasulullah, alasna ala al-haqqi wa hum ala al-batil. Are we not upon the truth and are they not upon falsehood? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Naam." Ya Rasulullah, are you not the messenger of Allah? He said, "Yes, I am." And he went through all of this. He asked him many questions and said, "Why are we signing this treaty which makes no sense, which is so unfair, which is so unjust?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed quiet. Then Umar, he was unsatisfied radiyallahu anhu. He went to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. And he said the same thing to him. Alasna ala al-haqqi wa hum ala al-batil. Are we not upon the truth? Are they not upon falsehood? Is Allah Ta'ala not truthful? Is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not truthful? Abu Bakr said, yes, yes, yes. He said, then why are we not doing anything about this unjust treaty? Abu Bakr said quite the same response that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. He was happy. The first person, any of these decisions that were being made, many of the Sahaba just didn't want to do it. To the extent that when the treaty was being signed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali radiallahu anhu, you write it. Ali radiallahu anhu said, I cannot write this. He said, I cannot write this down. I can't, this is so unfair. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got somebody else to do it. So this is how upset the Sahaba were. But in all of this time, you see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and you see this is the self-sacrifice. This is how much devotion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever Rasulullah said would go. Like there was no second guessing. There was no second thinking. This is how when we talked about the hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu, Abu Bakr had been preparing this camel, that Rasulullah is going to ride this camel. I'm going to give it to Rasulullah as a gift. It's like if Adil Bayh says, I've got this as a gift. I purchased this and he purchased it for me. And I'm going to give it to him as a gift. Now if I say, no, I don't want it as a gift. I'm going to pay you. He's going to say, no, I got it as a gift. That was my intention. So we're going to spend a bit of time going through this. Abu Bakr straight away said, Ya Rasulullah, if you want to pay for it, pay for it. Sometimes we think this is muhabba, this is affection. You know, argue and say, no, I'm not going to accept the money, no this, no that. This shows how much, Ya Rasulullah, your will is more greater than anything I want. If you want to pay for it, that's it. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, that's always ulterior. He would never think anything else. So in this time as well, the same thing happened. Umar radiallahu anhu used to say later on in his life, I wish I had the same patience as Abu Bakr had on that day. And he said, Umar radiallahu anhu in later life used to regret so much what happened on the day of Hudaybiyah that I was so he used to feel. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not take it disrespectfully because this was the nature of Umar. People's character and temperament is different. Some people can't contain themselves, which is fine. They don't mean anything bad by it. It's just the way that they are. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew this, but Umar radiallahu anhu used to say in later life, I have performed many salahs and many fasting to make up for my outburst on that day. The way I reacted to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day. And he said, I wish I adopted the same position as Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And there are many other virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned that when it was the time of before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing away, upon one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the gathering of the Sahaba, and it's a very famous hadith. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna abdan khuyyira, that a servant of Allah has been given the choice between the dunya and between that which Allah has. So Allah has given a servant of his the choice, either take the dunya or either take what Allah has. Allah has prepared for him. And that servant of Allah has chosen that which Allah has prepared for him. That's all he said. The Sahaba were listening, thinking, okay. And then they look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I think the hadith is narrated by one of the Sahaba, I can't remember his name. And he says, we looked at Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr's tears are streaming down his cheeks. Rasulullah, that's all he said. Allah has given a servant of his the choice between the dunya and between what he has prepared for him. And the servant has chosen that which Allah has prepared for him. And Abu Bakr's tears are streaming down. Then we looked at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then we realized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about himself. That his time is very close where Allah ta'ala will take him. That Allah had given him a choice, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you wish to live for longer in the dunya, we will give you that time. But if you want to leave all this and come to what we have prepared for you, you have that choice. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the hereafter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to leave the dunya. Abu Bakr realized straight away. And then the Sahabi says at the end of the hadith, he says, wa Abu Bakrin a'lamuna. And Abu Bakr was the most knowledgeable amongst us. That from this small ishara, this small sign of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he realized straight away that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to his own demise. There's so many things I marked here, subhanAllah, but I want to go through a few things, inshallah. There are a few hadiths like this, so I'm going to mention now, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith I'll mention, that Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he climbed on top of the mountain of Uhud. And Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman were with him. فَرَجَفَ بِهِمْ The mountain of Uhud trembled. The mountain trembled. It's like when you have a tremor. The mountain has a tremor. فَقَالَ So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُثْبُتْ أُحُد The Uhud, stop. أُثْبُت means stop, stay still. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ نَبِيٌّ وَصِدِّيقٌ وَشَهِيدَانِ Because upon you there is a Nabi of Allah, there is a Siddiq, and there are two shaheeds, two martyrs. So who was with him? Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's four people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's a Nabi on top of you, there's a Siddiq, and there are two martyrs, two shaheeds. And there's another occasion, incident like this as well, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's all here, but I'm just going to be looking through it like that, so I'd rather not. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended another mountain. And with him were Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Talha and Zubair. And all of these sahaba became shaheed. Talha, Zubair, Uthman, they all of them became shaheed in the for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu. So again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something very similar. So you see this title of Siddiq, you know, we think this Siddiq is something that we have given a title, or we just say because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is very truthful. The ulama say Siddiq is a maqam, is a status. That there's a position of Nabi, which is the highest position anyone can reach, Nabi. And the second most highest position in the sight of Allah is maqami siddiqiyya, the position of being the Siddiq. So the position of Siddiq for this ummah was chosen for Abu Bakr long before he was born. That the same way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was chosen to be the best of all the prophets, Abu Bakr was chosen to be the best of all humans after the prophets. He was chosen for that position of Siddiqiyya. That's why we see this incident, famous incident, many of us may have heard it. But on one occasion, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a servant. And the servant used to work as a fortune teller, as a soothsayer before Islam. So basically he would liaise with the jinns, and the jinns would give him information about certain people's bits of the future of certain people. So this used to happen, it still does happen, where the jinns know a little bit of the truth, but they mix it with many lies, and then they tell the fortune teller, and the fortune teller passes that on to the person who comes to ask their fortune. So this particular servant of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to work as a fortune teller. So when, after he became a Muslim, on one occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would always inquire, or he would always ask the servant, where did you get my meal from? Today's meal, where did you get it from? So one occasion, he was very hungry, and the fortune teller bought him the meal, and he ate it very quickly. And afterwards, he remembered, he said, where did you get the money to buy this meal, to buy this food, whatever it was? So he says, before Islam, I used to work as a kahin, a fortune teller. He says, so from that time, somebody owed me some money. I used to do fortune, I did some act of fortune telling for them, and they owed me some money. So now he's come back to me, that person, and he's paid me what he owed me. So with that money, I purchased the food. So the ulama say, look, this money for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is halal. For Abu Bakr, because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he did not get the money off the fortune teller. He didn't. Somebody else has given him a gift which he's consumed. It's not haram in his condition. And who would, Abu Bakr would know this. He's one of the greatest scholars of the Ummah. He would know that this is not haram for him. What does he mention that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did? Automatically he put his fingers down his throat and he retched and he vomited till every bit of that food, that morsel came out. Ulama said, a person watching, he said, he was retching so much, I thought his soul would come out. It's like food came out. And the way Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was doing was he was taking, and he'd only eaten a small morsel. So imagine if your belly is very empty and you eat like a bite or two bites of food, then there's not much in your belly. So even when you're retching, not much will come out because your belly doesn't have much. Unlike when we eat iftar time and we're till there. So we just need to move and we feel like we're going to vomit. It's not like that. This is when you've only got one or two morsels in your belly, it's very hard to vomit. What would Abu Bakr do? He would drink water, and he'd put his fingers in and he'd vomit again. He'd take more sips of water, he'd put his fingers in and vomit again to make sure that every single particle of food had left his belly, of that food. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in Ihya ul-Umuddin that Abu Bakr knew greater, more than any other person of this ummah, Abu Bakr knew that this food was not haram for him. But remember, who was he? He was the Siddiq. And because of being the Siddiq, he has a particular position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, even this small act, which is, again, is not haram for him, but it defies the position of Siddiqiyah. It goes against the position of the high position that Abu Bakr holds. And that's why there's a statement that the Sufis mentioned. They say, Hasanatul Abrar Sayyiatul Muqarrabin. Sometimes something for a pious person is good. A pious person, when they do that, is good. But when a muqarrab is someone who is higher than normal. When normal pious people are called abrar, like in the Quran, innal abrara lafi na'im. The pious people are in the gardens of paradise, abrar. But higher than abrar is muqarrabin. Those who are very close to Allah. These are servants of Allah who are higher. And now they know, many times they know that they are muqarrab. They are very close to Allah. They know that. Even in the dunya, even amongst normal people. Certain people, they know how close they are to Allah. And they know that if I do something a little bit, for somebody else it's normal, it's ordinary. But if I do that, that position that I have with Allah is going to be taken away from me. Many times they know this. How do we know there are different states? Like in the Quran, Allah mentions, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Allah Ta'ala could have said, on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala could have said, you have the prophets and then you have all the pious people. No. Allah said there are prophets and then there are siddiqeen and then there are shuhada and then there are pious. So there are maqams, there are states. Some people are there because of their piety, they're very close to Allah, they're the muqarrab servants. Many times they know who they are. Sometimes they don't know who they are because he stayed away from haram food, stayed away from backbiting, performed his 5 times salah with jamaat, and his heart was full of love for the Muslims. And many of these qualities which Allah Ta'ala loves a lot, he had inside of him. He was very generous. Remember, generosity, hospitality. This is a quality which just shoots you up to how close you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being generous. Generosity, subhanAllah. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this hadith you can't be taken lightly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, generosity is a tree in Jannah which has its branches in the world. Whoever attaches himself to one of the branches, it will eventually, the tree will drag him into Jannah. Whether he will want, it's like you have a branch of a tree. It's attached to the tree. Doesn't matter where that branch is, you're still connected to that tree. So just by being generous, a person will end up in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there's no way a person with true generosity will not end up in Jannah. Similarly, he mentions a bukhal, miserliness. Stinginess is a tree which has its roots in Jahannam. Whoever attaches themselves to any of the branches of stinginess in this dunya will end up there. And you see, generosity, all the ulama talk about it. So when Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, the first talk I heard him saying, all the people of Medina have come to hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking. What's the first thing he said? Ayyuhan nas, O people, afshu salam, spread the salam, wa at'imu ta'am, and feed people, wasilu al-arham, and maintain family ties. Don't break your kin's, your family ties. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Perform salah at night while the people are sleeping. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامُ. You will enter Jannah very easily. These four qualities. Spread salam, Be generous, feed people, silul arham, you know, maintain your family ties, fulfill the rights of your family upon you, your parents, your children, all your other family members, and have some portion of your nighttime salah, tahajjud salah. When you read salah at night when nobody is watching, that salah is between you and Allah, and you will enter Jannah very easily. This is the nuskha, this is the prescription to enter Jannah very easily.
اصل میں انگلش میں درس بہت کم ہوتا ہے اس لیے
اور پھر دونوں زبانوں میں مکس کرنا شروع کرتے ہیں تو بعض ساتھی اصل میں انگلش اردو میں مکس کروں نا تو بعض ساتھیوں کو کے لیے مشکل محسوس ہو جاتی ہے خاص کر کے جن کو ایک لفظ بھی اردو کا سمجھ میں نہ آتا نا اور ہمارے شاہ صاحب ماشاء اللہ روزانہ درس کرتے اردو میں تو اس لیے میں مجھے صرف ایک ہفتے میں ایک ہی دن درس کا موقع ملتا ہے تو اس لیے سوچ I'll just mention a few more points about Sayyidina Abu Bakr. There's so many things. I'm going to mention one or two more points, inshallah, and then I'll wrap it up. I'm looking at Adil Bhai. Every time I finish quickly, Adil Bhai is on my case. You did too quickly. Okay, inshallah. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he has many noble qualities that ulama have listed, and we don't need to, I mean, as we were going through the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we can see his many qualities that are coming in front of us. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that whenever anybody came to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and they praised him in his face, and why would they not? He's the greatest of the Sahaba. So naturally many people would come to him and praise him in his face. So anytime anybody would praise him in his face, he would say, Allahumma, O Allah, anta a'lamu bi min nafsi. You know me better than I know myself. Wa ana a'lamu bi nafsi minhum. And I know myself better than they know me. The people praising me, I know myself better than they know me. اللهم اجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. And this is a beautiful dua. اللهم اجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. Oh Allah, make me better than their opinions of me. Oh Allah, make me better than their good opinions of me. Whatever opinion they have of me, make me better than that. واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون. And forgive all my shortcomings that they are not aware of. ولا تؤاخذني بما يقولون. And don't take me to task for that which they are saying about me. If people come and say, you're really pious, you're really good, you're really generous, you're really, I don't know, you perform tahajjud, you do this, Allah Ta'ala will say, did you really do all of that? The people were saying these things about you. So that's why he's saying, oh Allah, don't take me to task for the things that they are saying about me that they don't know. This is really beautiful. After Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, Imam Al-Wasiti mentions, after Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became Khalifa of the Muslims, even before he became Khalifa, I think I mentioned last week that when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing away, how he's through so many signs he indicated that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will lead the Muslims after him. But anyway, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, there was a big incident about who should be Khalifa. And this is another sign of when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu showed his virtue, his superiority. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away and the whole of Medina goes berserk. The Sahaba, it's like they lose their minds. Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting there with a sword saying, if anyone says to me that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died, I will cut their head off. I will chop their head off. The Sahaba, nobody's talking, people are wailing, people are crying. And actually you wouldn't hear much crying. You would see people sitting there thinking, it's like they don't know what to do. They've got no purpose of living anymore. They were just sitting there, staring. And Umar radiallahu anhu is saying these fiery comments. If anybody says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, I will be chopping their head off. And you have all these other people in different states. At that moment in time, again, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu showed why he was the most eligible for the Khilafah and why he was superior over all the other Sahaba. He stood up and he said, he did the Masnoon Khutbah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam. Every time we start the khutbah, we give the sermon. And then he says, oh people, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتلا قلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. He mentioned this verse. وما محمد. Allah revealed this verse in the Quran long time ago. Umar radiallahu anhu says, when Abu Bakr read this verse, I had forgotten that this verse had even been revealed. I felt that this was the first time Allah had revealed this verse. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is nothing but a messenger of Allah.
قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such an... Well, this is the way Allah ta'ala is saying it. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلْ Many messengers have come before him. أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ If he is to die, أَوْ قُتِلَ If he is to be killed, إِنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ Will you go back on your ways? وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا Whoever leaves the good, the straight path and goes back on their ways, goes back to their bad habits, فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا They will not harm Allah in the least. وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ And Allah Ta'ala will give the patient ones, the grateful ones, their due reward. He mentioned this verse. And it broke the Sahaba out of this experience that they were going through. The Sahaba, it's like they came back to life. And they realized it's possible for Rasulullah to pass away. Before that, because the Sahaba, see, we never even thought a day will come when in our lives Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would leave us. It was not something that would be on our mind. Come on, these people, they gave their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, some ulama mention that Sahaba are an extension of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are his companions. Because of the lives that they lived and the amount of sacrifices they gave for Allah's deen and how easily they were ready to throw everything away, they were an extension of the miracles of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people could not bear smallest harm falling to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when this happened, you'd expect Abu Bakr to be the most shocked. You'd expect him to be the most broken by this. He is the most closest person to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the last moments of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "I want all of the doors to be closed except for the door of Abu Bakr." Meaning, I don't want anyone else to come to me except to Abu Bakr. He didn't have the patience. You know, when you're at that stage of your life, you don't want all kinds of people coming to you and bothering you. He said, "Only person I allow to come to me at this time is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." Imagine the bond Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine the bond. Like we mentioned last week, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Will you not leave my companion alone?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Abu Bakr, everybody," he says in one hadith, "in this dunya, everybody who has done any favor on me, I've paid them back, except for Abu Bakr. I cannot pay him back. I can't do it. It's not possible. Only Allah will pay him. Allah will repay him for what he has done for me." But this man, after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away, he doesn't lose his mind. This shows his strength, and this shows why he was eligible to be the next leader after Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Straight away, he stands up and he puts all the Sahaba in place. Another thing he does, so many points, I can't finish it. One or two things. Another thing he does is, I'm getting cold as well, which is not a good sign. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, near the last moments of his life, he sent out an army. And that army, the leader of that army was Usama ibn Zayd, the son of Zayd ibn al-Haritha, the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Zayd ibn al-Haritha was very beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his son Usama was also extremely beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam show muhabbat and affection and love to Hassan and Hussein, he would show the same love to Usama. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the last moment of his life, he made Usama the general, the commander of an army which he sent out. Which army? In the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a very famous battle known as the Battle of Tabuk, I think. No, it wasn't Tabuk. I think it was after Tabuk. The name's not coming to my mind. And in that battle, Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he went in that battle. And in that battle, three of the great Muslim generals were killed. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and Zayd ibn Haritha. All three were so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ja'far was the cousin, the elder brother of Ali radiallahu anhu. Zayd was the freed slave of Rasulullah, one of the first three or four people to become Muslim. All of these people were killed in this battle. It's a very difficult time for Rasulullah and for the Muslims sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he always wanted to avenge the deaths of Ja'far and the deaths of Zayd. So that's why he sent out this army, and the commander of this army, he made Usama. And Usama was a young, very young person. He wasn't even 20 years old yet. And he made him the general of the army. So obviously nobody would ever criticize the decision of Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him the army, made him the general. But as soon as Rasulullah has prepared the army has not yet left Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away. So after he passes away, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is elected as the next Khalifa of the Muslims, the Sahaba say, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one of the first decisions he makes is the army of Usama has to go. Rasulullah has prepared an army and he wanted to send it out. The army has to leave Medina, he has to go. Umar radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because many people were talking and they were saying, look, Rasulullah did it, that's fine. But then he passed away. Why is Abu Bakr choosing Usama to lead the army? Usama is such a young person. He has no experience. He's been in very few battles in his life. Forget being a general and a commander. And in that army, you had the likes of Ali radiallahu anhu, Talha, Zubair, Umar radiallahu anhu, who's part of the army. All of these great sahaba are in the army and Usama is the general. So they started coming to Umar and saying, go to Abu Bakr and tell him that, you know, first of all, that maybe the army should not go out. So he came and said, people are saying maybe the army should not be dispatched. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no, the army that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prepared to dispatch, I will not stop that army from going. And then they said to Umar, go and tell him that maybe he should make somebody else the general. Usama has no experience. So Umar radiallahu anhu came again to Rasulullah, came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He'd always come to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as he was his closest advisor. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became very angry. He says, "Thakulatka ya ibn al-Khattab, woe be upon you, ibn al-Khattab." He spoke to him very sternly. And he said, how can I make the Amir someone else except for the someone else instead of the person whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made Amir? Rasulullah has chosen him as your Amir. You are in the army, Rasulullah has made him your Amir. Who am I to say, no, I don't agree with this decision. I will choose somebody else. All of these are signs of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's sharp insight. Umar radiallahu anhu was so affected by that. He was so affected by that, that till his dying breath, every time he used to see Usama coming, till his dying breath, till Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, every time he would see Usama coming, he would say, Ya Amir. He'd call him, O Amir. He wouldn't call him by his name anymore. Just out of respect for him, that it's true, Rasulullah made him my Amir. I need to respect him. So sometimes you don't think about things, but a wiser person puts things into perspective for you. If Rasulullah has made him your Amir, doesn't matter how old he is, doesn't matter how much experience he has, who are we to then say anything different? Similarly, an incident happened when, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, because so many people had just become Muslims, this is the last incident I'm going to mention, inshallah. So many people had just become Muslim. So as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, many of these people started to leave Islam. And it was a massive fitna. It was called the fitna to ridda, the fitna of apostasy. Scores of people, huge amounts of people started to leave Islam. In the thousands, tens of thousands of people started to leave Islam. So this was a massive fitna. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just passed away and Abu Bakr radiallahu had to deal with this fitna. Abu Bakr had just sent out the army of Usama. There were very few Muslims left in Medina, very few fighters left in Medina because the majority of them had gone with Usama's army. And then some people started to say, we're not going to give zakat anymore. We used to give zakat to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're not going to give it to Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if you do not give zakat, I will fight you with the sword till I take zakat of you. Umar radiallahu anhu said, oh, Abu Bakr, maybe we shouldn't be so harsh. We're very weak right now. We're very weak. And these people have just become new, they're new to Islam. Maybe we should take it easy on them. At least they're doing their salah, they're doing their hajj, they're doing their... Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became so stern against Umar. Every time he would take his anger out on Umar. Umar would say, the side of Abu Bakr I saw after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, I never saw this when Rasulullah was alive. He was so soft, such a soft person. But as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, you know those qualities of leadership came, it's like they were just inherited by him. Straight away, he became so angry with Umar. He said, Ajabbarun fil jahiliya wa khawwarun fil Islam. You are such a cruel person in jahiliyat, O Umar, and now you've become a coward as a Muslim. This is how he spoke to Umar. Umar said, I became scared. I had no courage to say anything, no audacity to say anything to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he said, I swear by Allah, if somebody even a small portion of zakat that they have to give me, even if it's a penny or two pennies, he mentioned something else, I'm just paraphrasing it. Basically, a very small portion of zakat, if they do not give it to me, I will fight them with the sword till I take it from them. Because it's one of the fara'id of Islam. If I now compromise and say, oh, it's okay, they don't need to give zakat this year, we'll take it from them next year. Maybe when they're feeling up to it, they'll give it. If we start doing that, then people will think zakat is a joke. They will think this fard of Islam, one of the five pillars of Islam, is a very simple matter. They don't need to take it seriously. So he showed his firmness and his strictness and his harshness. And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever you did to him, you harmed him, you hurt him, he would never respond, he would never react, he would tolerate all of that. However, if any of the commands of Allah Ta'ala was broken, Rasulullah would become so angry, his face would become red, the vein on his temple would flare up, and you could see the anger on his face anytime one of the commandments of the deen were broken. And this is what Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu inherited. Inshallah, I think we'll close the chapter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, next week we'll move on to the life of the great personality Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. May Allah Ta'ala, and maybe some other time we can go into detail about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to understand this great personality, and may Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to develop these good, pious attributes inside of ourselves. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.